But we've been on this topic for the last couple weeks about I wish somebody would. Somebody say that for me. I wish
somebody would.
I say it again. I wish somebody would. And we're talking about in part that time that you would want somebody to. I wish somebody would open a door for me. I wish somebody would help me out.
Right.
And the things that God really desires on the earth. And many times God is sitting in heaven saying, I wish my people would. I wish they would show more of my love, more of my kindness. I wish they would share my story. So I wish somebody would. And we've been reading this incredible book, Conspiracy of Kindness, by Steve Shogren. And we're going to be having a talking about it and discussing it at the end of the month. But I'm so glad to have Jessica Predville on stage with me today. She's always amazing whenever she's doing something in ministry, but she is a force to be reckoned with. She started two nonprofits. She has a day job, but she's a superwoman at nights. She's the director of our student ministries here at Hope United. She's always going about 180 miles an hour. But if you know her, you know that she is on fire for God, and you only have to speak to her a little bit to really know how much she loves God. But I want to kind of take a step back, because it wasn't always that way. You know, you weren't always on fire for God. You didn't always have this powerful testimony. What was it that you wish somebody would have shared with you before you came to Christ?
It's so interesting. Before really thinking about it, I was like, well, there isn't really much that I wish somebody would have told me, because nothing can really prepare you for what God has in store for you. No word can get you set up for that. But now, thinking back, just between services, I just wish somebody would have told me how much I'm not alone and how much God actually does truly love me.
Right.
That's what I wish somebody would have told me before I got saved.
You know, sometimes it's the simplest things that God can use us to say. It's something simple. It's something real. Romans 10:13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We understand that. You call on the name of the Lord, you're going to be saved. But verse 14, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? It's so important that somebody's salvation experience, somebody coming to Christ, somebody connecting with God, can be dependent upon them receiving the message through you. And so we're all messengers. One of the really interesting things, and it's cool about Scripture, is there's not a gift of the Spirit of evangelism.
No, there isn't.
It's actually something that we're all called to do when we come to Christ. Yeah. It's, you know, whether it's in big words or small words, or whether God communicates something through actions, it's something that we're all meant to play a part in. Is there, you know, we've been talking a lot about showing the love of God through acts of kindness. Is there a particular act of kindness or act of love that someone showed you that kind of tipped the balance in your experience with God?
Yes, that's a really great question, because I think that in life sometimes we get cornered in our minds and we believe that we're alone. Even if there are people around us, we can't really identify them or who they are. And I think when I first started walking with the Lord, that was a real wilderness season. What I mean by wilderness, there was really nothing around me. But God puts you in that position so you can hear him clearly and be completely dependent on him. And that knowing that he is your provider, not only financially, but he provides relationships, friendships, and everything through him, right? And I was at a point where I was transitioning in university, and I was just like, Lord, I just need help. I need help. I wish I had a friend or somebody that could help me. And out of nowhere, I had an acquaintance at that time. She was my tax preparer. So I didn't really know her like that, but she was a believer. And just in talking to her one time, I was just telling her, man, I just feel so overwhelmed with this schoolwork. I had to read cases. I had to study. And she was already, she's 10 years older than me, and she had a master's degree. So what she did is she logged into all of my online classes and downloaded all of my syllabuses. Not only did she download my syllabuses, she studied the cases that I had to go over. She studied it on her own time. She started seeing what was required of me, and then I'd go to her office, and we'd stay there way late to the night, and she would quiz me. She would flashcard me. She would ask me, and she prepared me, and I was like, why is she being so kind? The word is not nice, because nice and kind are two different things. And the Lord said, I will always provide for you. Always depend on me, and I will always send someone to help you, because that person didn't have a character of the world. That person had a character of Christ. Because for somebody to say, I'm not in school, I don't have anything to do with that, but I'm gonna delve in like I would if it was mine, and I'm gonna help you through this season. Only God could have provided that help for me. And so that made me wanna be like that. That made me wanna be someone that was so selfless that I can put myself last and put God's agendas first. Amen.
Isn't that incredible that God could use something natural,
yep,
to show his supernatural love. And that's what, you know, this concept of showing simple acts of kindness. We're revealing God's love. I love what James 2:14 says. And with the men's Bible study, we're always getting back to the book of James. We love it. But it says, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anybody? Would you be saved today if somebody didn't show you some kind of action?
No.
You know, no. Faith without works is dead. What James says. But a lot of times we throw that scripture around until we lose the significance of it.
Yes.
Faith without putting some type of action to it, it's dead. Absolutely. It's dormant. It's not really doing anything. It's not saving anybody. It's not even saving you. Because if you're in Christ, it pushes you to take some type of action.
Right.
You can't be in Christ and not take action.
Right.
His Holy Spirit's going to be driving you crazy. Show my love to this person. Show my kindness. So it's a thing where our love has to become action. I love the story. Well, first I want you to tell a story, because I know you're always telling me testimonies every week that everybody doesn't get to hear all the testimonies that we get to hear. But what are one of the stories where God has used you recently to show his love through an act of kindness?
You know, I love what we're doing in this house and what God has empowered us to do through giving to the community. And we recently had a Thanksgiving drive, and the Thanksgiving drive is we just reach out to families who are, you know, having a tough time having Thanksgiving, and we provide them with meals, everything that will have a complete meal. So my cousin and I, we went to the supermarket, and we started...
The cousins out there.
Hey, Chantel. Shout out to Chantel. Yeah, so we went to the supermarket, and we were filling up the cart with stuff. We had two buggies full of stuff, and it was almost time to close. So she's like, man, I know the cashier is going to have such an attitude because it's almost time to go, and here we go with these, you know, carts full of stuff. And you know what? She prophesied that, because once we got to the checkout line, that girl, she had a very interesting attitude. So it's late, and so she's checking out. My cousin's talking to her, and she's ignoring my cousin. So my flesh starts to kind of like rise, and I had to like tell it to go back down. And I was like, not today, Satan. You're not going to get me to show out, right? So then I'm looking at her, and I hear the Lord say, give. And I'm like, give? And I'm like, I know he ain't asking me to give this girl. I mean, she was just so rude, but you know, I would still be obedient, right? And he's like, no, look to your left. So I look to the left, and there's this woman standing right behind me. Mind you, they're about to close. And the Lord says, I want you to pay for her groceries. And normally I'm so excited to do whatever the Lord asked me to do. But in that moment, fear tried to come in where like, don't ask her. It's COVID. You don't want to get too close and get your face close to hers. And so I went over to her and I said, can I ask you a favor? May I please pay for your groceries? And she was like, oh, you don't have to do that. And I was like, no, I don't mind. I really want to do this. So I just told the lady to go ahead and, yes, ring up some more stuff. And she was not looking happy. And as I was doing that, she was saying, I only had $10. My daughter's pregnant. She has no money. She lost her job. And I just said, I'm going to buy stuff for her house. And she starts like crying. I'm like, wow, I'm really paying for your groceries. Like, I felt really bad for her. At the end, I hear the Lord say, and this is all the Holy Spirit, not glory to any person. He says, I want you to get cash back and give her $100. So I said, okay, Lord, I'll do that. And I wanted to give her a church card. I went in my purse, found a church card. And when we went, I wrapped it up really small, put the church card and put it in her hand. And I told her that Jesus really, really loves you. And whatever else the Lord wanted me to say. She's following us, me and my cousin, out of the store. And she says, no, you don't understand. And she starts crying. She says her husband asked her that morning, do you see God in our lives? And she replied, no. And at that moment, God showed up and showed out in her life to show, I'm just a random girl in a Winn-Dixie who's giving, paying her groceries and giving her money. People don't do that. It has to be the Lord to encourage you to do that. And not only that, church, she came here. She brought her family here. She received more ministry here and more food here. So that one act of kindness and obedience, God showed his visible love to this woman through a stranger. Amen?
You never know when that small little act of kindness is going to snowball into something.
Yes.
You just have to be, you have to be faithful in the small things
Absolutely.
That God asks you to do. You know, I love the story of Jesus with the woman at the well.
Yes.
You know, because this story, it's so packed full of things that's going on here. But one thing is, Jesus is a Jew and this woman is a Samaritan. So they're from two totally different cultures that hate each other. For generations, there is racism, there's discrimination going on. And Jesus, at this beautiful moment, reaches across the divide of discrimination, reaches across this divide of racism, and shows kindness, shows the love of God, gives words of love, and he demonstrates to us how we are to reach across those types of divides.
Absolutely.
We have all kinds of divisions in our society today, but as believers, we have to be bigger than divisions. We have to be bigger than divides and cross those chasms by faith and say, look, I know there's some things going on culturally, but I want to show you the love of God anyways, because I'm a part of a different kingdom.
That's right. You better say it, Pastor. Yes.
You know, and so I love what Jesus shows the example, and it's a challenge to us to reach across those types of divides. How important have you found it to make God's love visible through your actions?
It's very important for me, myself. I personally take on a challenge. I think sometimes we get so used to pointing out what other people aren't doing and what they're supposed to be doing that we're not keeping our eyes on us and what we're supposed to be doing, right? And I think before I became a believer like that, I would find people that would say that they were Christians, but they were not the nicest people. They didn't have the fruit of God's spirit of love or anything like that. And I used to be like, well, what church you go to? Because I don't want to go to that church. Like, if everybody's like you, why do I want anything to do with this God? But the beauty of it all is that God used that experience to empower me in this season in my life, because I now know that people don't care what you know until they know that you care. They don't care that about any scripture that you have to say if you're not demonstrating the love of God. So I personally take on the accountability to say, Jessica, you cannot ruin your witness. You cannot say you love God and you're treating people badly because of how they look or where they are in their lives or where they're struggling. And I think when people see that visible, tangible love of God, they want to know that. They want to know that Jesus, to know, well, he can accept me too. You know, he wants me too. Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's no quota or qualification that you have to meet. He just wants to love you. He wants you to believe and he wants to turn your life out for the best. And I think it's important when we demonstrate that we let God, we let people know that God is real and he's tangible and that he loves them. That's his main message. His message is love.
Oh man, that's so good. And it's so true. That you know, when Jesus came to earth, his whole message, his whole situation was to make God's love visible.
Right.
When he died on the cross, make God's love visible.
Yep.
When he interacted with people, make God's love visible. Everything. And so if we're going to be Christians, we have to do what Christ did,
is
make God's love visible.
Absolutely.
So when we become like Jesus and show kindness to the world, we are doing what Jesus did. When we do what Jesus did, we become what Jesus is, a visible symbol of God's invisible love.
Amen.
When we do what Jesus did, we become what Jesus is, a visible symbol of God's invisible love. And that's what Colossians 1:15 basically says. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. How in the world are people supposed to understand and see who God is without somebody being a visible symbol?
Yes.
When you were in that Winn-Dixie, in that line checking out with that lady paying for her groceries, you became the visible symbol of an invisible God and his invisible love.
Yes, amen.
You made his invisible love visible.
Absolutely.
When you did that simple act.
Undeniable. But you can't deny it because of that.
Yeah, yeah. I think sometimes we begin to show that act of kindness or that act of love, but we don't understand how to tie it back into our testimony. I want you just to talk a little bit on that, how you tie back in your testimony or sharing faith after an act of kindness.
I think that the number one thing that the enemy tries to do is choke out your testimony. He wants, what I mean by that is, he wants you to not talk about Jesus. Like, this world is not an anti-God world.
And that actually is the, for those that understand this terminology, that's the spirit of the Antichrist.
Yes.
That's really what the spirit of the Antichrist does. A lot of times people get lost in the symbolism in the book of Revelation, but actually that's the spirit
that's exactly
of the Antichrist. Because Jesus said, he said the spirit of the Antichrist, when he was here on the earth, he said the spirit of the Antichrist is already among you. Do you know what the spirit of the Antichrist is? Anything that rejects Jesus.
That
makes you feel like rejecting Jesus or suppressing Jesus.
Right.
That is the spirit.
Yes.
Of the Antichrist.
Yeah, and so this world isn't an anti-God world, it's an anti-Christ world. So as long as you say God, universe, or whatever else you want to say, people are like, yeah, absolutely. Once you say Jesus, here comes the offense, right?
Yeah.
So then you kind of say, well, I don't want to say nothing about Jesus. I don't want to offend this person. I had to get to the point where I didn't care what people thought about what I had to say or not had to say, because what I have to say can save your life. And I want to do my part by planting that seed, and I'm going to talk about Jesus. Amen? So when I do stuff for people, whether they're church, unchurched, believers, unbelievers, and they say, thank you, that's the door that's open for me to say, I remember when the Lord did X, Y, and Z, and I plug my testimony up in here because I don't endorse anything else but Jesus, right? So I plug that testimony in there. You're going to get this testimony today. You will be encouraged in the name of Jesus.
I love it. I love it. And you like, I was just listening to you say it like last service and how you use thank you as a springboard to jump into your thank you. You know, a lot of times it's easy to say, we say something mechanical like, oh, you're welcome, or thank you, or we get religious and say, oh, thank Jesus. No, but you turn it into an opportunity for an open door. They're saying thank you. You say, man, I remember when I was there.
Yep.
I remember what God brought me through, and I remember how I felt when I was where you were. And God loves you. So that is so beautiful. What is the urgency? What's the urgency that you feel about the Word of God being shown and being shared?
Personally, the urgency is this world. I am so saddened. Just like when Jesus came, I know that he was just so saddened by what was going on, all the people that were held and bound by sickness and just being ostracized and bullied by religious figures and all of this stuff. And I feel like the urgency is no one's here by accident. You're here on purpose. And I think that the urgency not only is to let you know that there's a God, he's real, and that he loves you, but you're not just here to live and die. You're here to serve a purpose. And that purpose, my urgency is like, I felt like, looking back, because when you're in the space, you don't know that you're a zombie. That's just the best way that I can explain it. I didn't know that I was a zombie. I really couldn't see, think, or hear, right? And when I received Jesus, like, my eyes were open to things that they were once shut to, right? And then God started, when you said the two nonprofits, I didn't know nothing about nothing. I just knew that the Lord said, this is what I need you to do, and you're not going to ask anybody to help you. I'm going to show you how to do that. Nobody helped me start up the nonprofits. That was strictly the Holy Spirit. And a lot of the things the Lord was showing me, this is what you're called to do. This is why you're here. And I'm like, yo, I need to go out there and tell every single person that you're not here on accident. There's a reason why you're here. There's an assignment on your life. And God wants you to use you mightily for his kingdom because he is the king, right? And so I had a vision when we were praying during our fast. And I closed my eyes and I saw a street. And the street was lined with paper. It wasn't scrolls, but it was scroll-like paper. Some people had the paper in their hands and they were reading it. But it was a lot of paper on the street. And I asked the Lord, I said, what is that? He said, those are assignments that have been abandoned. Some people have their assignments in their hands and they're reading it. But there's a lot of people walking around here. The world is telling you what your purpose is. You're unfulfilled. You're not satisfied. You're chasing after this fleeting dream. You're never going to be filled by it. And the Lord is saying, where are you going? I have fullness here for you. I have plans for you. I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you. I have plans to give you hope and a future. And the assignment, a lot of the issues we see here today now are because people are not in position. People, you said there was a quote that you shared. Now, I want you to share that quote.
A friend of mine was saying that each of us is an answer to a systemic problem on the earth. God has created and designed you as an answer to a systemic problem on the earth. So when we fail to do what God has assigned us to do and that paper is lying on the ground, there's something left undone on the earth.
My God.
You and I are meant, we were designed by God to do something, to solve a problem here, to be the answer to something that's wrong.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And I think that when you recognize what your purpose is, and guess what? The thing about God is he uses everything. A lot of the things that we're doing now is not far from what he has us to do. Like our gifts, like if you have a gift of music or whatever, like, yeah, you're in the gift of music, but for the world. But he's like, I can do more than what the world can give you. I can fulfill that. You'll feel fulfilled. You'll touch so many people with the gift that I've given you. It's not that you shouldn't be a musician. You're just a musician for the enemy. You know what I mean? And it's just that way. If you have a gift of speaking, you talk a lot. No, I have a gift to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and everybody's going to listen because God anointed my mouth to do this, right? And so the enemy tries to beat you down and use the gift God gave you. No, you won't, enemy. So that's the urgency, Pastor Joshua, that I feel, to turn on lights everywhere.
Oh, that's so good. I think just in the Gospels, you can see that. Matthew 28. 18, then Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and earth, therefore go. Somebody say that, therefore go.
Therefore go.
There's urgency there. Therefore go and make disciples. You know, here's the message. Now get out there and do something about it. There's the clock is ticking. So even within the message, if you're reading the scripture right, you can feel that. You can sense that. There's an emergency going on. There's immediacy that's needing. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. It's this intense love. It's this giving. It's this message has to get out there. So let's make it personal, right? What urgency do you feel there is to share this message with your family?
Okay, let's just use practical an example, right? If your house was burning and you're in the house with your family, will you just get out and just leave the house and not wake up anybody else and tell them, like, oh, well, I'm out. You know, I saved my... No, you wouldn't. Your first urge is to, let's get the dog, let's get the cat, let's get everybody up, let's get everybody out of this building. And I think that when you are now, you have the light, you know, it's like you see your family who I love, and they're in a burning house. How would that make me if I abandoned a burning house and left my family to burn and die? I can't do that. The urgency is like, y'all, like Jesus loves us and he's all about family. God is about legacy. God is about lineage. And that's why Joshua said, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. So I'm not jumping ship that's about to wreck and leave everybody on this ship. I'm not doing that. That's the urgency that I feel. Not only to see God move in the lives of my family members, but I want to see them be everything that God has called them to be. I want to be a witness of that. And I want to say, you see, devil, you tried to ruin my family. You tried to take my daddy by alcoholism. You tried to take my mom. You tried to take my sisters. But guess what? Not only am I saving my family, but everybody that's tied to us in our circle of influence. Amen?
Right. That's so critical. If you love, show the love. Absolutely. Demonstrate the love. How can we say, you know, faith without works is dead. It, just to talk about it is not enough. It has to take action in our community. It has to take action at home. If we want to say charity starts at home, listen, the first person you should be talking about faith is right inside the four walls of your house.
Yes.
2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord really isn't slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake, because he doesn't want anyone to be destroyed, but he wants everyone to repent. God doesn't want anybody to be destroyed. I think that's something that we get wrong. You know, sometimes people see Christians or people that are trying to be saved, and they see God under this context of judgment, judgment, judgment. But God, his desire is not to destroy. His desire is to bring people to himself, to bring people into his family. I mean, is destruction, is judgment, is all those things a reality? Absolutely. But that's not his desire. His desire is that not one perish, but everyone come into his family. Everyone repent. And our heart has to be like the heart of the Father, that we say, man, I want everybody. If they look like me, if they don't look like me, if, like Leon was saying, if they got holes in their pants, holes in their shirt, coming up for prayer, man, it doesn't matter. I want to share the same love that's been given to me. I want to share it with others. Is there something else on your heart that, before we wrap this thing up, that you say, I really want to say this?
Absolutely. In John 3:16, if we continue reading, it says that he sent his son to save the world, right? And I think that the Lord didn't send God didn't send a condemner. He sent a savior. He sent his son here to save us. And I think sometimes in wanting to do right so much, we end up turning people away from the love of Jesus. And I don't think that's anybody's intention, but I think that it happens. Does it happen? Absolutely. What I have been praying about is this. People say signs, miracles, and wonders, right? Oh, there's no more signs, miracles, and wonders in the church, and that's not true. God cares about your soul. Every time a sinner repents, heaven rejoices. Every time a sinner repents, heaven rejoices. Salvation is a miracle. It's a miracle, because this world is competing against what God has to offer. So, I mean, pulling out all the stops. And when somebody realizes, you know what, my life will just be better with Jesus. And I think that each and every single one of us sitting here today are not here by accident. You're here by appointment. Not to twist your arm or have you to do something that is not beneficial to you, but to say, maybe you are saved. But there's somebody that you know that just needs Jesus, that needs love in their lives, and they're searching for it in places that cannot give it to them. We have this God-sized hole that we're trying to fill with everything else, but the only thing that can fill that God-sized hole is God himself, and that's why he sent his son. So I don't care where you are in your life. I don't care what you're struggling with or in or what your sin is. Know this, and know that this is a fact, that Jesus loves you. I know that we say that a lot, like it's a catchphrase and it's watered down, that people try to make it. No, he loves you, and you have to believe that he loves you and he loves your family. So that's one thing I've been praying about. And he's like, I just want you to know that the end game is salvation.
Amen.
Is salvation through the love of God, which is Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Will you bow your heads with us? I'd like to pray for you. God, I thank you, Lord, for each and every person that's here. God, you're saying something that's unique to today. You're saying something that we need to hear right now. God, you have us on a journey of faith, but God, there's other people on a journey of faith that, God, you want to use us. You want to let us be your hands and feet. You want us to be your representative, to show your love, to share your love, to share testimony and faith. God, to be the light in the middle of dark, broken, dysfunctional places. God, help us to do that. Help us to be that. Help us to have the faith, God, to put action, not just words, but action to our faith. And Lord, I thank you. Maybe there's a few here today that say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. I need to reconnect with him, or I need to connect for the first time with him. I need this Jesus that you're talking about. I need this Jesus that's about love and not judgment. I need this Jesus that is a Savior, that's a healer, that's a fixer of the broken places of my life. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you today. Amen. Amen. God can do what no man can do. He can fix broken stuff, but you have to let him in. You have to invite him in. He's not going to barge his way into your life. You got to say, yes, Jesus, I need you. I want you. I'm inviting you in today. If you slipped up your hand, I want to pray for you. If you'll say this prayer with me right where you are, and everybody can join in agreement with this. Jesus, thank you.
Thank you
for your love.
Thank you for your love.
Even when I've done the wrong things.
Even when I've done the wrong things.
You still loved me.
You still loved me.
Even when I've been dysfunctional, you still loved me.
Even when I've been dysfunctional, you still
loved me. Even when I've sinned and fallen short, you still love me.
Even when I've sinned and fallen short, you still love me.
Jesus, I need you.
Jesus, I need you.
To come into my life.
Come into my life.
Fix me. Give me a fresh start.
Give me a fresh start.
Heal the broken places.
Heal the broken places.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
For all my shortcomings and sins.
For all my shortcomings and sins.
Jesus, fix me today.
Jesus, fix me today.
Jesus, heal me today.
Jesus, heal me today.
Heal my heart and my mind.
Heal my heart and my mind.
I need you.
I need you.
I surrender my life to you.
I want you to lead me.
I want you to lead me. From this day forward.
From this day forward.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on, can we just praise God for what He's doing in our lives, in our families? Man, this was so good. Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you, Pastor Joshua.
For sharing your testimony and your faith and everything. I know that it was a blessing to everyone. Amen.